I'm Sarah Littman. Welcome to Torati Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today, we will be learning Mishlei, Proverbs chapter 28. In chapter 28, a person is referred to as Adam six times. That's four times more commonly than the word appears in the rest of the book of Mishlei, 14 times more common than it typically appears in similarly lengthed passages of Tanakh. There are many different words that can describe a person: Adam, Gever, Ish, Ben Adam, Enosh. Let's see if we can learn something about what is specifically characteristic of the term Adam. The term Adam appears first in Bereishis chapter 1, verse 26. Vayomer Elokim, Na'aseh Adam Betzalmenu Kidmusenu. And God said, "Let us make an Adam in a form worthy of us, in keeping with our image. Vayirdu Vidgas Hayam Uva'of HaShamayim Uva'Behema. And they shall exercise dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over animals, uvechol haaretz uvechol haremes haromes al haaretz, and over the whole earth and over all the creeping things that creep over the earth." Who is this Adam, this human, created in the image of God and whose creation is announced before it happens? At the core of the word Adam is the root dam, blood. Blood is not the life itself, but blood brings life to all parts of the body, while energized by the nefesh, the soul. We learned a bit about the nefesh in chapter 13. The blood is the organ of the soul, the working of the nefesh on the body. So dam is domeh, it is similar, it resembles. Blood contains within it all the elements that form the body as a whole, and supplies those elements through circulation of the blood. Thus, it is domeh, similar in composition to every other cell in the body, even though blood doesn't resemble any other cell in the body directly. Think, for example, of stem cells and cord blood, the way that the blood can be used to build any other form of cell required by the body. The aleph in front of the word dam, the A of Adam, is aleph, the first letter of the alphabet. Number one, it expresses individuality. Thus, Adam is an individual entity, a unique personality, the major characteristic of which is that it is similar to, gives a concept of, someone else. A human being is, at their core, an image of the Creator. Like blood, which is made of the same stuff as the other cells, but doesn't actually look like them. We humans don't look like God, who has no form or shape, but we are comprised of similar material, so to speak, being given life through a life breath of God. Another thing we can notice here is that Adam is not the name of a person, a specific person. It is the name of a species or a genus. Man, mankind, human. And thus we find in the next verse in Bereishis, verse 27, God created the genus, the species of man, in an image projecting himself. He created it in a form projecting the divine. Zachar unakeva bara osam. Male and female, he created them. All living things are created male and female, but zachar and nakeva, male and female, is only expressly mentioned at the creation of the species of human. Strikingly, within the very creation of the human, the verse begins, bara oso, God created it. In the singular, there is no distinction of male and female, and then shifts to bara osam, God created them, in the plural, identifying male and female forms of Adam. Thus, the Torah emphasizes, God created Adam, a creature in the image of God, to project godliness as male and female equally. Only with both can the concept, the mission, the purpose of a species Adam be complete in its entirety. Adam is an all-encompassing word for a person. It encompasses singular and plural, male and female. This is similar to the classical English use of man with a capital M to mean humanity. In chapter 2, verse 7 of Bereishis, the creation of the human in the context of history of the world and its development says, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim es ha'adam afar min ha'adama. And God formed the Adam, dust of the Adama, the ground. Vayipach ve'apav nishmas chayim, and God breathed into his countenance a breath of life. Vayihi ha'adam lenefesh chaya, and the Adam thus became a living individual. The word Adam is the root of the word Adama, ground. All living creatures are products of the Eretz, the earth. But only Adam, and Adam alone, comes alive via a life breath of God. Adam, man, while having an earthly body, made of earth, does not get his identity as a product of the earth. Thus, Adam is the root word from which derives the word Adama, ground, and not the other way round. The Adama, the ground, in contrast to much of the universe, is the material that is developed and elevated by Adam, humankind. Thus, in Shmos chapter 20, Mizbeach Adama ta'aseh li, you shall make unto me an altar of earth. Our work in this world is to bring up, to elevate from the earth unto, towards God. Not as you might think to bring down the heavenly towards earth, but rather to elevate the earthly towards God. We are to think deeply about how God wants us to shape and develop the earth and what is in it towards higher use and meaning in the service of God. In this way, the Adama, the ground, the earthly material, finds its fulfillment and elevation through the actions and free will choices of Adam, humanity. Adama derives its identity and name from Adam. The Vilna Gaon teaches there are five names used for a person in Mishle: Adam, Gever, Ish, Ben Adam, and Enosh. Adam being the highest level of human, Enosh being the lowest. We've talked about Adam. Let's take a quick look at some of the other terms for contrast. The second level is Gever. Gever is usually a man, but the main connotation is Gevura, strength and power. So the term can be used as well for a woman if she's in a position of power, as in Gvira or Geveret, a mighty woman or a woman of royalty. The third term, Ish, means a male adult, a man. It's not really a broad term the way Adam and Enosh are. Technically, it can also be used to point to a specific individual of any type or species, but in common use, Ish means a man, a notable individual worth singling out. We'll learn more about the word Ish in chapter 29. The fourth term, Ben Adam, son of man, is all about the potential. Bnei Adam are full of all the potential that Adam has, but it is mostly unrealized. They are born of Adam. They have not yet achieved Adamhood. Thus, Bnei Adam can refer to the people, the population. They may not be very elevated individuals. They may be simple children of Adam. They're full of potential, and that should not be underestimated, but they are not yet developed. The fifth and lowest level of humanity is Enosh, root of the plurals Anashim, men, and Nashim, women. Instead of fulfilling the mission of Adam, the person who has been delegated by God to protect and promote the earth, the Enosh is one who abuses that authority and finally perishes crushed under the burden of his guilt. Enosh is the name of a grandson of the first Adam, the first human. But while the first Adam was close to perfection, and the term Adam refers to man's greatness, in Enosh's generation, people began to devolve spiritually and physically. The term Enosh then points to humanity in a lowered state, a state of lost hope, or of endlessly pursuing physicality rather than preserving it. Having learned this, we're going to have some new answers and some new questions in the verses we're about to read in chapter 28. Verse 2, Befesha Eretz Rabim Sareha. When there's a rebellion in the land, there are many rulers. Uva Adam Mevin Yodea Ken Ya'arich. With an Adam, with a person who has understanding and knowledge, stability can last. Verse 12, Ba'alotz Tzadikim Rabosif Ares. When righteous exult, glory increases. Uvekum Rishaim Yechupas Adam. But when the wicked rise, the image of Adam becomes masked. Verse 14, Ashrei Adam Mefached Tamid. Fortunate is the person who is always anxious. Umakshe Libo Yipol Bira'a. One who hardens his heart will fall into misfortune. We have to pause for a moment and ask, what is positive about being anxious? And why would an Adam, a great person, be fortunate to feel anxiety? Let's go on and see what we can learn about this. Verse 17, Adam Ashuk Bidam Nafish Adbor Yanus Al Yismechuvo. A man guilty of bloodshed will flee until the grave. No one will support him. How can we understand that a person who is ashuk, oppressing, bedam nafesh, bloodthirsty, adbor yanus, who's fleeing to the grave, how can this person be described as Adam, the epitome of humanity, the projection of the divine? In fact, the word Adam in this verse is written with the Dalet, the D sound, in the middle, very small, indicating that the Adam, the great and lofty person that should be referred to, is flawed, is minimized in a way. This person is an Adam, and yet something is missing. Something is deeply wrong at the center. And thus the Talmud, in Tractate Yuma, cites this verse to teach the following lesson. V'chol hamachtias harabim ein maspikim biyado lasos tshuva. A person who leads the public to sin, how can he ever atone for that? So the Adam here in this verse is someone who appears to be a great person, a leader, a teacher. And the ultimate bloodshed and oppression he commits is causing other people to go wrong. In this way, he ruins his soul, and how can he ever correct it? But isn't it a fundamental of Jewish belief that we can always repent, we can always do teshuva, we can always correct our ways? The terrible problem here is that the person who actually commits the sin doesn't know he's done anything wrong. After all, the leader, the influencer, the great person taught him to do this. That is a mortal damage that is almost impossible to undo. If you're a great person in a position of responsibility, you really do need to worry. The more influential you become, the broader the scope of the damage you can do. If you make a mistake, if you slip up, if you act weakly, if you judge selfishly, just even for a moment, how can you ever correct it? How can you ever undo the influence you have upon others? Responsibility can carry a heavy price. A realistic, humble teacher or leader should in fact be afraid of the impact of her personal failings on her students and followers. Yes, she should worry, because nobody is perfect. But the teacher, the leader, the influencer, when they mess up, they don't only affect themselves. And so the verses continue. One who walks in innocence will be saved. One who works his land will be sated with bread. A person of integrity will increase blessings. Shlomo HaMelech says, work hard. Walk straightforwardly. Be wholehearted with God and other people. Work to develop your ground, your adama, your potential. Be trustworthy. Be dependable. And then you're going to have to lean on God to help protect you from harming others through your mistakes and inadequacies. A person needs to know their strengths and their weaknesses. You have to know your Adam, and you have to know your small Dalet. And you do have to worry about them. I wish I could tell you otherwise. Don't fall into the trap of overconfidence or arrogance. You're much safer off taking shelter in God's power to do kindness with you and those you try to help. Thank you for learning together with me. Le'ilui Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.